The sacred scripture and church teaching based on the sacred scripture teach that God is love. And everyone and everything that God created is an expression of his love. It wasn't the second reading today, but looking at the first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 9, we read, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God." "Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. And in this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent his son, only Son, into the world so that we might have life through him." 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 9. Now, either we will accept God as God has revealed himself to us, or we will be in danger of creating God in our own image, and in doing so, creating love in our own image, apart from the one who is love. In the gospel reading today, the Pharisee attempted to test Jesus by asking, which of the 613 commandments, not just 10, 613, which of the 613 commandments was the most important? And the Gospels tell us that Jesus had dispensed from the Old Testament ceremonial or worship laws. No longer do we need to sacrifice animals to be at one with God, to express our need of the forgiveness of our sins. That's been accomplished once and for all through the passion, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus also dispensed of the dietary and the kosher laws. In regards to the moral law, Jesus dispensed from the incurring capital punishment for breaking the moral law. You may remember in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, the woman was caught in adultery, and even though the law said that both partners in that act deserved to be stoned to death, only the woman was brought again as a way to test Jesus, and in the end Jesus said, go and sin no more. Jesus did not dispense of the moral laws. And that is why the Ten Commandments continue to serve a purpose today in the life of the church. And as you've heard me say, the Sacred Scripture and the Catechism of the Catholic Church are the primary textbooks for Christian living. And some people may think the catechism is dry and lifeless, but it looks at the practical ways to live out the Christian faith as a disciple of Christ. And part two of the Catechism of the Catholic Church uses the Ten Commandments as the outline to look at how do we practically try to live according to these commands. And so one doesn't have to read the catechism from cover to cover, but one can use it as a reference book. Even if you put in the Google Catholic Catechism, the Catechism of the Catholic Church pops up. It was promulgated in the 1980s, again, continuing from the teaching of the church across the centuries. I've found it helpful to look at practical ways to live out the faith, such as forgiving other people, since I would like to go to heaven. As Jesus said in the scriptures, no, if we are unforgiving, we will not see God. He will ratify that intention in the Lord's Prayer that says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So I found the catechism helpful to look at practical ways and expectations of forgiving other people. So I do invite you to do that. Why is that? Because when Jesus spoke with the Pharisee, he was not really intrigued in having a debate about which of the 613 commandments is the most important. because it would go in a way that Jesus found to be unhelpful in the long run. He would have stated what the most important commandment is. The Pharisee would say, well, I think it's this. Other Pharisees would do this. And they would lose the point. Not Jesus, but the Pharisees. They would lose the point of why God has given us these commands. And so Jesus invites the Pharisee not to be involved in a debate, but to acknowledge the primary purpose for these commandments. And so Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And upon all the law and the prophets, it depends on that. So Jesus wanted to get to the heart of the matter. Notice, love the Lord with your mind. That's why I said, take the time, read the scriptures, read the catechism, have your mind formed, even as I'm striving to do the same. The mind regulates the actions, and we want to act in a right way, in keeping with our dignity as sons and daughters of God. The enemy of our souls wants to say, well, you talk about these commandments, that's all legalism. All you need to do is love. Remember, I had someone say that to me in the office once, not here at Holy Family, in my first pastorate. And I invited that person to look at the crucifix in my office. All you need to do is love is not as simple as it seems. The commandments help us to love God wholeheartedly. God gives us a sure sense of direction. And loving God wholeheartedly is the context in which we love ourselves and others appropriately. And I know I've said that before, but we need to continue to hear that. And I need to continue to hear that, to have that form in our mind so that I know what I'm doing and why I am doing it, and you know what you're doing and why you are doing it. For love cannot be just a feeling. Commandments cannot command feelings. I can't direct you to feel a certain way. God cannot command you to feel a certain way. But God said, you shall love God wholeheartedly. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So it's an intentional action. Be careful with feelings. Sometimes it feels good to want to do something that God does not want us to do. And at that point, we need to make the intentional action. I shall love my God wholeheartedly and love my neighbor as I love myself. The Ten Commandments just don't say what not to do. It gives us a direction about what we should do. I should respect people's marital relationships. I must do so. I must respect people's property. I must respect God's name in my speech and in my actions. I must worship him on the Sabbath day. He's been too good to me. So, love is the interpretive key in fulfilling the commands. But the one thing I want us to take from this is the fact that we love God wholeheartedly, then we are called to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. To love ourselves. And some people may think that is against being a Christian, but the Lord Jesus said we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. What is a God-centered love of self? It's the basis from which we reach out in love to our neighbor. A God-centered love of self is based on, first of all, my striving to wholeheartedly love God. Because if I don't have a God-centered love of self, then I will treat my neighbor accordingly. Or I will place a disproportionate value on what others have to say about me. And my self-esteem will rise and fall according to the fickleness of human beings. And we will place the opinions of others over obedience to God. We know many examples, many tragic examples, about what some people will do to obtain from others what they think is love, but gets them involved in situations that God never intended for them to endure. Those situations may have been a part of our lives. But when we follow the commandment appropriately, love God wholeheartedly, and that's the basis to love ourselves and our neighbor, then we will have a stable and healthy self-esteem that is based on the total faithfulness of God, which never changes. To love God wholeheartedly means agreeing with God about how to live and then to do it accordingly. Again, it's an intentional action helped by God's grace. It's really a self-centered act to sideline a divine commandment. Oh, that's a little too tough. God knows my heart. Or to ignore the commandment, or to reinterpret it to make it seem a little bit more palatable for us. Because if we do those things, we're just saying, God, you're only worthy of trust to a certain point. You're only worthy of trust at moments of convenience. No relationship will grow if we only determine to build that relationship only at moments we deem to be convenient. And yet God continues to gently invite us to let go of any fears as we seek to follow his commands wholeheartedly. He invites us to go through the corridors of our minds and to remember why he is worthy of complete trust. Now, maybe the results of following the commandments may not be evident at first, but our love for God is based on who God is, and therefore we trust in what he has commanded. It is not, God, you have a certain time period to fulfill this, otherwise I'm done. I'm done with you. Some people want to do that. Some people want to make a contract with the Lord when the Lord invites us into a relationship. A God-centered love of self is the basis for reaching out in love to our neighbor and building a just society. We heard that in the book of Exodus today. It will help us to resist any temptation to exploit others. And a God-centered love strengthens our ability to enhance life. God always shows how much he values us. Even when life gets difficult, we should never doubt him. God created us in love. He knows everything about the human condition. He supplies everything that we need to do what is right. He has confidence that we can live according to his commandments. Otherwise, in his love, God would not have made them for us. In the image and likeness of God, we know that we have been created to love and to be loved, to form and foster healthy relationships. And in reaching out in friendship, or in promoting what is just in society, we risk being accepted or rejected. But to have a God-centered love of self is to say that that risk is worth taking. We may experience disappointment due to rejection, but that does not define our lives. We know that God will raise up others to be with us, to be of support to us, even as God raises us up to be of support, true support, to others. The Lord Jesus shows us that. He bore the wounds of rejection in his body, but he was confident in the life and love that he shares with his Father, and he was steadfast in his love for us. The Lord Jesus continues to reach out in love, and he is eternally victorious. That's why we say, in fulfillment of the third commandment, that it's an obligation to worship the Lord on the Lord's day during Holy Mass. And again, looking at the interpretive principle, we can either grumble and say, I just got to get this out of the way, or we can say, God has been so generous to me in love, in my generosity to God in love, I come here to give him praise. I may be sleepy, which happens to me at 7:30 in the morning, but I've come to give God praise. I've come to express my love for God in concrete ways. We have the Holy Day of Obligation on Wednesday, All Saints. God wants us to be holy. He shares his life and love with us and has raised up men and women of different backgrounds who are now in heaven. All Saints commemorates everybody who is in heaven, whether they have been canonized by the church or not. And so I want to come on Wednesday to give God praise and thank him for his love, that he wants us to be with him forever and with our brothers and sisters in heaven. And so we need to resist any temptation to think that Jesus' summary of the commandments is difficult to fulfill. He has given us the capacity to do it, Jesus himself.